What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Check it.
I'm losing my voice, Matt.
You're losing your voice. What a great way to start a podcast.
Well, technically, we already ended the podcast.
Yeah.
Our podcast process is backwards.
Don't let people peek below the kimono.
Ooh, below it?
Yeah.
Just not up it. Don't lift it.
Yeah. Just don't look below it.
You can look below. Look at my toes. They're fine. They're hairy. All right. Moving on.
Who are we talking to today? Mr. Los Hustle. Los Silva.
That's right. It's a cool name. Yeah. I think one of the best names. Los Hustle.
Yeah. Well, his branding Silva. Is Los Hustle, but his name is Los Silva. And I really, really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Holy moly.
We kind of segmented into two sections.
One being all about the team.
Yeah. First one being all about the team. Like we were interested because he scaled a good sized team that's like really good people really fast.
About 25 people in one team, and I think another team had 30-ish, 40-ish.
Yeah, and he did it fast, and they're all good people, and his company runs like a Swiss watch now.
These people, he's hiring bartenders, hairdressers, and whoever.
Well, let him tell us that.
Well, yeah, but I'm not giving anything away.
Well, that was a big spoiler.
Well, now I just opened the loop. How does he do it?
Okay. Anyway, so we talk about the team building. And then part two of this conversation, we get into like influencer building.
Yeah. On this little thing called Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. Instagram.
Yeah. Mostly Instagram. We did touch a little bit on YouTube and Facebook and stuff, but mostly talking about building influence on Instagram and becoming, you know, just growing a massive following on Instagram, and then how to leverage that following once you've got it. Some really, really cool ideas. Like, you know, we've experimented with Instagram, and some of the ideas he presented, we'd literally never heard of. So really cool stuff.
Here's what's different about the Instagram. Not giving away too much, Matt. Don't worry. He's giving me the eye, everyone.
Spoiler alert. You can press the skip button if you're afraid of spoilers.
No, I'm not spoiling, homie. Okay. I'm saying this is not your grandma's Instagram training right here.
My grandma didn't have Instagram.
Yes, she did. She had 1.0. Okay. Virgin 1.0. No, everything that we've experimented with on Instagram has kind of failed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not failed, but it's just not got, it hasn't given us the results that we basically were shooting for. But what Los lays out is literally skipping all of the hard work and leveraging other people's work to do that. And you can go freaking acquire partner.
That's way too spoily.
Okay, I'm going to stop. But no, he tells you how. So I'm not spoiling that.
Let's tell people how they can drive traffic to their website.
All right.
Go to evergreenprofits.com/traffic because I know Joe is about to give you a lecture on traffic. Go to evergreenprofits.com/traffic and type in the code word SHIRT. As the little coupon code, and we'll actually send you a free Hustle and Flowchart t-shirt, not Los Hustle and Flowchart.
Shart.
That was a hard combination of words to say.
Send you a shart.
Hustle and Flowchart shart.
Wow, okay.
A Hustle and Flowchart t-shirt.
We should buy that .com.
We're going to send you one of those, and you're also going to learn how to drive a ton of traffic. It's the way we do it to affiliate products and our own products, and it works. And some of the biggest name marketers on the planet are getting behind this course saying this really is cool. The way to be doing it. So check it out, evergreenprofits.com/traffic. Let's talk about building teams and building influence with Los Hustle Silva. Hey, Los. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is gonna be fun. We have a mutual friend, Brad Costanzo. He's actually a business partner in one of our businesses, and he reached out to us and said, "You guys have to talk to Los. This guy is a ninja with a bunch of shit that we're interested in." So, really looking forward to diving into some of that stuff, especially, you know, really growing teams, because I think that's sort of one of our big themes for 2019 is scaling our team. So,
all about
really excited to dive into that stuff.
Yeah, man.
Stoked to talk about it. Yeah.
For sure. So where do we start, man? Like, where'd you come from? A little backstory here and what brought you to where you're at now?
Yeah. So I'll not to bore anybody. So I'll just go back. Like I kind of start telling the story about 4 years ago. I had a successful business. It's kind of successful. We were doing a few million a year, and I had a business partner and everything was going well. And we just, you know, long distance relationships don't work in any kind of capacity. I think I'm a big kind of believer in that now. And you know, one thing led to another. We went to traffic and conversion that year, and I remember standing in right by the TV of our hotel. We were going to have a talk because things were just kind of rocky. Business was okay, but it was just rocky because, you know, when out of sight, out of mind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, essentially, we had a conversation about breaking up, and I was like, "All right, we had enough assets to take. We could both take some assets and be like, all right, I'm good. And he was like, no, I think I need to keep everything. And long story short, I kind of like really thought to myself in that moment, I was like, damn, man, like I could fight for this and it can get nasty because we all know the same people in this space. Mm-hmm. Or I could just say, fuck it. F, can I curse here?
No, you're good, dude. Say whatever you want.
We'll probably cuss way more than you do. So,
all right, cool. I was like, I could just say, fuck it, and like give him everything. And if I can make it this time, I'm actually good at this stuff, right? And so I was like, you can have it, bro. I'm good. And then I actually fell into a casual depression after a few months for that because I was like, I didn't know what to do. Everything was taken away from me. Like I had built we had a software, we had a mastermind, we had e-com stuff. Like we were doing pretty good and I didn't have any of that. And so fast forward, like I had two friends that I had hired. Well, they became friends, but I hired them to work there. I took them with me and they forced me to start speaking again. I started speaking a little bit and I started an agency. It went okay. It went pretty good. After 3 months, we were already on track to do 7 figures. Cause you know, again, like I know a lot of people in the space. I knew how to do funnels and ads and the whole thing. And then I found an influencer and the influencer was like, hey, you know, I don't have money, but will you do it for a percentage? And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm still kind of like figuring out what I want to do. I don't even really want to do this agency thing. So we'll see what happens. That month we hit 6 figures. Then the next month we hit more. And then I was like, man, this is way better than having an agency. I wonder if I can replicate it. And I've replicated that particular process with over seven different influencers. And now we have different influencers with different brands. We own everything from membership sites to health supplements to clothing lines. And we do well over 8 figures with all of our brands combined. I've got a team of 15. I got another team of over 25 on the supplements and other things and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of teams. Everything runs like an operator, like really smooth. We just recently this year because everyone wanted to partner with me and I couldn't do it. It's just not scalable. So I built out an accelerator and coaching division, helping people with building teams and processes, but also ads and content amplification. Everything we do for our brands, we just built out as a system. And that's kind of what we work with people on that side as well.
That's right. So what kind of influencers are you partnering with?
I focus specifically on health and fitness. Just kind of like that became our passion and stuff like that. And now as we've grown, we've started to work with some more people to do like speaking and a little bit of personal development and stuff like that. But mostly 99% of the stuff is health and fitness.
That makes sense.
We have a buddy, Mike Matus. He was on the show here. He's a local SoCal guy. And he is kind of doing similar to what you had, including the accelerator, you know, for different businesses, but there's such a opportunity with influencers. I mean, because so many people just have this following on Instagram or YouTube or wherever, but just don't know how to monetize it. They don't know how to create that business around it.
Well, dude, and no one, so here's the thing, right? When you work with influencers, when you work with everyone, right? Like if you're a marketer, it doesn't mean you're good at business. It means you're good at marketing. If you're an influencer, it doesn't mean you're good at business and marketing. It means you are good at being yourself amplified. Like when people think now they sell the dream, right? Being an entrepreneur, being whatever, they're like, yeah, you can do it. It's like, honestly, maybe you can't, man. Maybe you're just a really good speaker. Maybe you're just a really good marketer and you can work for someone who is a big visionary and you can put those processes in. And I really recognized that as I started to work with these people, I was like, oh, dude, you could never do this by yourself. No offense, but like at scale and all these other intricacies and processes and like operationally, like you don't want to do that either, you know? And that's kind of like something that I actually really like building the businesses, right? Like I took those 4 years off from like speaking and being on podcasts and doing all those things because I was kind of getting burnt out and I kind of got afraid to relaunch it because I didn't want to sound like one of those coaches that teach coaches how to coach, mm-hmm. right? Which is everywhere. And so I kind of like stepped back and Brad actually was like, dude, you got to be on this podcast. It'll help you get moving on that stuff and it'll kind of bring you back. So I'm stoked to be here, man.
That's awesome. So with the influencers and the clients that you work with, now, are you working with people that aren't necessarily yet influencers and sort of making them influencers? Or are you looking for people that already own influence and partnering with them?
So our accelerator works with people that are trying to get there, and we can help them build out those processes and stuff. But I personally only work with people that are either in the heavy hundreds of thousands or in the millions of followers.
So you have your benchmarks. You kind of, you know, all right, well, I'm sure you have some metrics now. You're like, all right, cool. They got this many followers, this much engagement. You're like, it's pretty much a slam dunk, you know, if you apply.
And it's just, you know, a lot of, like I said, a ton of people started, they started recommending me and people just started finding out and I get a ton of people and it's like, you have to be able to pull decent levers to scale. And you know, if you're going to start with someone who's like, hey man, I'm really good looking, or like I have 100,000 people that follow me and I can speak, that's awesome. But I basically have to build your entire business. I don't have time for that. You know, I'd rather come in and amplify somebody's message and really expand that. And so what I'm doing, what I do now is like, I actually own all those businesses. I start off with like this date before we get married thing to see if we like each other. We might not vibe and you know, it might not make sense, but if not, if it doesn't, if we start having a great relationship and it's all good, then I get equity in the businesses.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's really, I think there's really like sort of two topics I want to really go down. So one of them is I really want to talk about team building. Cause when we talked to Brad, Brad was like, Los is a ninja at team building. He's built an amazing team faster than anybody I've ever seen. So I really want to talk about that. And then I also really want to talk about, with these accelerator programs you're doing, what kind of things are you getting into with people to help them build their influence? I think those are really kind of the two rabbit holes I'd love to go deep on.
Let's do it.
Which one do you want to start on, Joe?
Let's start with team building.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things there. So where do you think we should start, Loves? Because I know there's a million topics.
So if you want to start with team building, I would say, you know, what I do with people that are trying to scale and stuff like that is most people haven't even hired like that next person, right? So before I even hire the next person, for everyone who's listening and stuff like that, I'd ask myself first, all right, I used to think this was corny until I really started doing it at scale. What's my vision, mission, and goals? At first, we all just want to make more money. And then we want to make more money than that. And then it turns into something. But if you can start aligning yourself with like, all right, well, what do I want to do? What do I want to build out? What's the mission? What's the vision? How are we going to get there? It's easier to bring people on board, right? Like when I bring people on board, the first thing I say is like, hey man, listen, we are a small company, but we're growing consistently. My goal is to get to 50 million in 3 years and then 100 million. I want to sell one of these companies specifically in the next 3 years. I already have the person that's going to buy it. You know, I want to be the Procter and Gamble of influencers. Like my goal personally is to own a ton of these brands. I already have it to where like, you can see some of these fitness influencers like fight people don't like them online. They're like, oh, I hate him, but I like him. And I laugh. I'm like, I own both those brands. You know what I mean? So like, that's kind of like how people fight on the shelves. I think like media and online, like us being a media company is my shelf, right? So I project that mission to people and I go, hey, and this is the culture. We're savages. I have literally like a huge thing, art piece here that says savages. We call ourselves SVG. Like we have this mindset of like everybody has to work here at a certain pace, a certain level. Like you have to, you know, we're all here to support you, but you have to be a savage and support your team members. Have a really good strategy on paying people like really, really well. Cause I don't, if you're a baller, like you should stay a baller here and want to grow with me instead of having to leave somewhere. I think people don't treat people right. And that's why people leave. And then I go deep into like, here's how you're going to get educated. This is where I'm going to take you and train you and the whole thing. And once you bought into my mission and my vision, my goals, and you see my passion, like it's really hard. And then I have testimonials from all the people that work here. They're like, oh, I would never leave. Like I literally have people that would work here for free. Just because they know how much like it means to me and like what I would do and have done for them. Right. Like I keep my word and all that kind of stuff. So that's critical. Like step one, and no one does step one. Cause they feel like that's stupid. I'm making 10, 20, 40, 50, 100 K. I don't need that. Like, yeah, you do. You need that because if you don't believe it, why would someone come and work on something that you don't really believe?
100%. And you're, let's be honest, you know, the money gold kind of gets old after a while. Like you need something kind of bigger. And then definitely with being surrounded by people that are on sharing that same goal and path, the vision, mission, then it just gets more fun. you know, and you have something together, like this collective thing. You guys are all having, you have like a challenge, fire in your ass collectively to go.
That's it, man. Like you spend, you know, if you break down time for all the people that like to be lifestyle entrepreneurs and like, oh, I like to relax and kick it. Like, I can't do that. I don't like it. I like to work. Work is my passion. It's my hobby. It's my extra sport. If I have more time, I read about work. If not, I listen to things about work. Like, I love it. Right. Yeah. And you spend, I would say if you're spending 33% of your day sleeping, you're spending at least 33% of your life working, right? If not 40 or more, why wouldn't you want to build something where every single day that you're here is your best day, right? And that's with the people that you're hiring and the things that you're doing. I'm like super cognizant of building that kind of stuff, because money does like mean nothing. If anything, like, I try to make a lot of money so I have a big pot, like everyone gets a percentage here of the business, depending on the net and all that kind of stuff. Because I love sharing like the growth, and like, that's what gives you true joy, is like accomplishing things more than money.
Yeah. I feel like with when it comes to team building and bringing on new team members, I feel like the hurdle for most people is more mental than it is actually finding the right people. I think a lot of people really struggle to just kind of take that first step and accept, look, I'm gonna spend this money on an ongoing, recurring, indefinite basis to bring this team member on. And I think that's a tough mental barrier to get over. So I'm curious how you overcome that, or what sort of advice you give to people.
So I can't grow without people. I mean, that's always been my logic, right? Like so two things. I think you're right. And then I also think that other people think, well, I'm too good for this. Like, no one can do this like me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done every job here, and everybody here is better than me at those jobs now, like by far, you know,
that's how it should be.
Because say what?
That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, everybody here is way better. It didn't start that way, and I had time, and, you know, I definitely invested money in time into making people good and working on their mindset and all that kind of stuff. I do a lot of like trying to help them with personal development and where they are, what they want to do, what they want to achieve, so we can try to achieve it together. But to tell people, you know, it's going to cost you money, man. Like, you're running a business. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing. Like, you know, a lot of people, I heard this analogy, like if you're going to go be a doctor, you're totally cool losing 4 years of your life, then another four, going $100,000+ in debt just so you cannot make money for the first 5 years and then potentially start to make some money. But with entrepreneurship, you're not willing to put $3,000 of your money, or five or six or seven, to like get somebody to help you offload so you can do better work and then scale your business. Why is that?
Yeah. What would you? Let's see here, because I know one of the issues is that you mentioned this in the beginning, and Matt said it as well, is you kind of feel like you can handle it all, or you're cut out to be the marketer, the, you know, the follow-up guy, the sales guy, all this stuff in one. How do you get folks to see that that's not the case? Because like in our case, it took us almost 10 years to figure that shit out for ourselves until we're like, oh yeah, my personality is not like jiving with that. You know, and you kind of start to understand what you're good at and what you really suck at. But, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs just push through it anyway.
So I think we all have to push through it, because at the beginning, like, we just don't have money. Right. You know what I mean? You just got to do whatever you got to do until it changes. But for me, like, I realized, man, like, at the end of the day, like, all the things that we do is a process. Like, I realized, like, none of it, you know, I saw... You know, I'm friends with a lot of marketers. Like, I saw when Dice was working with Molly, how good Molly got. And then, like, Molly was the reason that they did ad so well and all that. It wasn't Ryan and it wasn't Perry and all these things, right? Like, it was like, wow, they trained someone so well that they're that. And then they get Russ. And all these people are the reason that they're able to grow, because they're able to say, okay, what's my biggest move? Like, what's my biggest lever? Like, what do I need to go do? What do I need to be? And so one of the big things that I do all the time, and I'm always questioning this and analyzing it to the day and to the year, it's like, what's my unique ability this year? Because I think your unique ability changes because you change, mm-hmm. right? Like, I used to be a really good marketer. I think that I'm an okay marketer. I'm a way better operator now. You know, I'm really, really good at sales, but I'm also not doing all the sales and stuff like that, because I'm a better operator and a better motivator, and I'm better at these things now. And if I do this more, my businesses grow. If I get back into marketing, like, I can change the conversion rate on something, but I'm not going to make the needle move as like hiring two people and training them on these processes. Everything we do with marketing and with business and operations, it's all a scalable process at the end of the day, because everyone's done it. Like, there's so much data that you can go back on, like influencers or people that have good businesses, and like really analyze their model and go, okay, so this is how this worked. This is what I'm going to do. And two things happen. Like, you don't want to invest the time or the money in those things. And that's why people get stuck. They want an immediate result, because we've been so accustomed to, we see it on social, or we see things and people are like, yeah, I did this and like my business scaled, and I did one tweak and my business made this much. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true, man. Like, everything takes time. Like, every single thing that you build, even, you know, if I start a new, I have a new brand that we're starting right now, and it's not smashing. Like, it's gonna do fine, but it's not doing well. And like, I'm okay with it. And I'm spending money on ads, and I have people that are working on it, and we're trying to figure out what's wrong, because that's what happens at the beginning. But people are just impatient because they're seeing, you know, Ed Milet's day 900 and they're comparing it to their day 39.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you do hire people, are you looking for people that already sort of have some of the skills you're looking for? Or are you hiring people that are kind of blank slates and then training them up on your ways?
We hire blank slates.
Nice. Well, you said like what, yeah. Bartenders and stuff like that.
Dude, so everybody here used to either take pictures at a bar, or was a bartender, or was a hairstylist, or a club promoter, or there's one dude or was in a band, like legit, mm-hmm. is in a band still. And, you know, like no one here is like, yeah, I've always done AdWords, or I've always done conversion rate optimization. You know, I have. And so like, I started it with like two core people that were with me from years before, and I worked with them to get them good, and then they got really good, and then we together trained other people. And dude, I'll go to, I mean, like when I tell you, like we train things like from the beginning, like I'll buy, you know, for example, like for Facebook, when we were first starting, we bought Kuzmich's courses, mm-hmm. and I know Nick, and I got his stuff, and I was like, yay, I'll call you if I need anything. But we sat down together and like did it and failed, and then did it and failed. And then, you know, I'm lucky enough to, I know a lot of top level marketers. I can make calls, so I have a lot of consulting, but I don't use it for me. I use it for them. I go, hey, let's go in this together, and let's see what happened here, and let's take notes, and then let's build a process through this phone call that we just had, mm-hmm. right? And then that's how I've been able to scale it. And then now we have a big process, and like we have a method to doing all these things, and everything's almost templated out, so to speak. You know what I mean? And we have Monday.com as a process board for everything we do: content amplification and ads and funnel building and conversion rate points that we want to always make sure we're touching and stuff like that. But you know, I got Dennis Murphy to help me on emails. I hired him, and I was like, hey dude, teach these guys emails with me. Yeah. Like, tell them what's wrong, what's going on with our copy, why are these headlines not making sense? And you know, I know that not everyone can do that, like just make a phone call and call like some people, but you can buy their courses and you can buy their content, you know what I mean? And kind of use things like that to educate them.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. So you're basically bringing on people that, you know, probably want a little more time freedom. They're working at a bar or a hairdresser or whatever. They want some more time freedom. They want to be able to work from home at a computer or whatever. And you're basically leveraging the courses and the people and the resources you have to educate them. And I imagine they probably start out a little bit cheaper than if you were to just go find somebody that claims they're a Facebook expert as well.
Right. And also the thing, when you claim you're a Facebook expert or an AdWords guy or a conversion rate guy, again, like you've been almost like brought up by this like fake market. So you see people and you're like, yeah, I'm 5K. Oh, how many ads have you run, or how much have you spent? Oh, I'm 5K, bro. You know? And so like you get all these people, they're like, oh yeah, I did it for Johnny or Mike, and like I don't really do this, and I have my method. So like your method doesn't work, Lowe's. It's like, no, like I don't even think my method works. Whatever is going on with the data of what we're doing is what works. So we're always implementing and changing, you know. And that comes into like you got to hire people that don't have egos, and you yourself shouldn't have an ego and think you're always right, because you know we do a lot of like we process a lot of data here with all of the stuff that we do, and like no one's ever right, man. Like the only time we're right is on like whatever we tested and that showed the result.
Yeah,
you know, so you have to iterate from that, not from where you think.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've hired a lot of Facebook agencies in the past. We've hired two or three agencies in the past, And I've always kind of gone in, set up a bunch of ads, and then hired the agencies and kind of wanted them to sort of maintain what I've already set up. But they always have these sort of preconceived ideas of, no, this is what's working for my other clients, so this is what I'm going to do. And pretty much without fail, every single agency we've ever hired has killed our advertising.
Yeah.
So yeah. Definitely resonates. We're definitely on board with bringing people in that don't have any preconceived ideas. The person who's running our Google ads for us right now, she's literally never logged into AdWords before 6 months ago. So
perfect.
Dude, yeah, and they're new to this, right? So they can be better, and if you take the time, you can make them amazing. I mean, like, overall here we spend, you know, all these, no one had that kind of experience, and we spend well over $1 million a month on ads. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what I mean? And it didn't come from like, oh, well, this guy's a pro at XYZ. Like, no, it just came from us figuring it out and being like, oh man, what if we do this, and what if we maybe build another account, or like, what if we like did more ad sets? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's it. And then going back to like the mission and the vision, like the way it is here with everything that we do is, I don't want to say we're Google, cause we're nowhere near that size. Right. But like, I'm very like, listen, we have a big thing. It's called impact over effort, right? Like, if you're not feeling it, you should go home. Like, it's whatever, man. Like, you're not going to do anything. Sitting here for hours isn't going to do shit for you. Yeah. It's not going to help us. It's not going to do anything. A lot of this is creative stuff. So if you want to go to the gym, go to the gym. If you want to go get food, go get food. And like, people work better because like, I'm not their boss. You know, I'm their friend, but I'm also like their leader. And I'm more their mentor than I am their boss. You know what I mean?
That's
the vibe that we have together all the time. Like, I'm always eating. I have quarterly retreats with people, and like, you know, it's not about like work. It's about what can we do to improve our workspace. And that happens to happen most of the times by us making more money and growing the brands. Right.
Yeah. So I want to go back to actually sourcing these folks. So like the bartenders, the hairdressers of the world, like, are you, I guess two things. How are you finding them? And then what qualities specifically do you see as like, oh, this person has potential with us?
So how I'm finding them is usually from referrals or friends. Like I said, a lot of these people came from like that particular network. And the hairdresser, my wife used to be a hairdresser, and her name's Hannah. We hired her, and she was going to be my assistant. And I really just, everyone was like, oh, you need an assistant. And then when she came, I was like, oh, you shouldn't be an assistant. I think you could do these things. And she had no idea what I was talking about. And she was like, I think I'm just going to like book your flights, man. And then I was like, no. We taught her how to do, you know, like content and like manage systems. And now she builds funnels in Kartra. She has her, like, we're literally launching her own brand. She runs all of our Instagrams. We even built a service that she manages running other people's Instagrams and like whole content things. Like, she teaches stuff now, she does video. So all I care about, man, is like how hard you're willing to work and what your goals are. And if they align with my goals, right? Like, I want to make a ton of money and stuff like that, but I really truly want to build a place that like creates an amazing workplace, because I'm here all the time and I get to like spend time with these people that become like my deep friends, and I get to build a bunch of things together, and we get to explore and grow as people and business people together. And I want people here that are not, that want to leave at 4, but they're totally cool staying till 9 and coming in on Saturdays if that's what we need. And I don't want to pressure it and be like, that's what we need all the time. We sure don't. But if that's needed, like, I don't want anybody to ever hesitate and be like, no, I'm here all day, no problem. Sure. You know, so it's a lot of resiliency and hustle and grit and desire to want to improve, not just financially, but like, I want them to want to, you know, be a part of like something bigger.
Yeah.
Do you ever hire like personal friends, like just, you know, buddies of yours to bring into the company?
No, I'm like, with all the happy stuff that I'm saying, like, I'm super aggressive at work. Like, we need to grow, we need to crush. Like, not aggressive like I mean, but like, I take it serious, you know? And so like, everyone that's here is like very serious. Like, we only have like one thought, and that's scale. Like, how do we hit scale with everything that we do? You know what I mean? Like, everything we launch, like, within the first 3 months has to be hitting 100K, just because that's what we're used to now. And that's what I push towards and stuff like that. And I'm always trying to ask myself, like, am I thinking too small? Should we try to do more? And sometimes we fail and it sucks and we lose money and stuff like that. But, you know, with friends and things like that, I take this too serious. Mm-hmm. And I think with friends, you always have the problem like, oh man, but it's cool. It's like, well, it's cool outside, but like in here, like we're trying to smash, right. You know?
Yeah. No, that's cool. It's like, leave the war stories to the friends later, but you know, have your own crew in house, which by the way, it sounds like, is everyone in house with you? Like in location?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's unique.
Yeah.
Have you tried, like, would you consider, I know you said the long distance stuff doesn't work. Would you say that for any team member, or is that just for like partners?
Customer support. Yeah. Developers, different things like that. But I like being here. I like seeing, you know, you could totally do it, I think, but I like being here and I'm a really good motivator. And like, if I have a plan, I like you to come here and like me whiteboard it out. And like, if you have a problem, I can sit with you and I can see what's going on and we can work on things together. So it's just, for me, it works way better doing it here.
I love it. No, it's that whole face-to-face thing. And then you could, like you said, cause I know Matt and I, like, we meet up all the time. We do have a virtual team, but we talk all the time, but I could just see the benefit of having, you know, a localized place to go to, even if it is your freaking house, you know, if you're working out of your bedroom or something.
Dude, we started out of my upstairs.
There you go.
Like, you know, we started out of my upstairs. So yeah, it doesn't matter. But being together has been really good for us.
I love it. Do you guys do anything about like personalities and, you know, kind of understanding what people naturally are just interested in? Or is that just something you just have like an eye for at this point?
At this point, I have a pretty good eye on it. I used to make people take tests and all that kind of stuff, and it works, but you know, it works just as much as it doesn't work, man. What I do more so is like, I put people in, so we kind of almost go by different pods. Like, you got your funnel team, you got your media team, and by media, I don't mean media buying, but like videos, chopping, YouTube content, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. And then you have your funnels, right? And then you have like your, more operational, like managers and stuff like that. And if you I always make you, the first thing you come in here as you have to build a funnel. Like, no one says anything to you. We give you a funnel and we give you ClickFunnels and we go, all right, build that. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. That's what you do for the first day. And you have to have it done. Like, we have a time, like the fastest one was in like 3 hours. So you have to be under, you have to be between 3 and 5 hours. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's gotta be done completely. And you have to ask no questions. And then we put you on ads, and then we put you on everything just so you kind of get to know like a decent understanding of like what things are and how it works. Mm. And then normally I'll have an eye and be like, all right, you know, if you're kind of into numbers, jump into media buying. Or if you're really creative, obviously like do the creatives for the media buying team, and they can just place ads and stuff like that and help with the copy and all those things. But if it doesn't work, before firing people, I'll move them around. I'll be like, hey, what about here? What about there? You know, what about trying that? Like, and it's worked for me. Like, I've had people that I was like, hey, you're starting on ads, and they sucked at ads. And then we moved them into creative, and they kill it for us in creative now. So it's just about trying to find where they're happy, because they're the ones that are spending the majority of their time in their stuff. And I don't want to pigeonhole them by being like, do this. And if that doesn't work, like, you suck. Like, you probably don't suck. Like, there's probably something that I didn't do in putting you in the right position that made you excel in this thing, you know? Yeah. So I always try different things.
I love that funnel building concept, especially the fact that, you know, don't ask questions, just go build it, because it sort of forces them to be resourceful, right? One of the things about some of our past team members that we've had that was kind of a pet peeve is they would come to us. We use Slack a lot for our virtual team management. They'll come to us on Slack and they'll say, hey, I have a question about this. And it's oftentimes a question that could have been resolved with a 30-second Google search. You know, and I love the idea that you go build this funnel, but kind of figure it out.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we'll check in like once or twice, but it's mostly like, hey, you know, I have a question on where did you get this icon or whatever? Like, oh, it's here. Bye. And like, we don't talk to the people. And it's not because we're assholes. It's just like, figure it out. Like, if you can't figure that out or I see like you're getting so stressed, you're getting pissed off or whatever, like, it's almost probably not going to be a good fit.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
So for like an early stage entrepreneur, let's just say like maybe they just cracked the six-figure mark. Maybe they're making $100,000 a year. what would you say, what would your recommendation for first hire be?
If they're in the space that I think, they're probably doing funnels. So I would have somebody help me with funnels. Mm-hmm. Or if they're lacking ads, I mean, I would still say funnels, because a funnel to me is like the complete sequence, right? It's not just like, hey, here's my pages. It's like, hey, here's my pages. That goes to my email. If I have an ad guy, that retargets to something else, like maybe it's another conversation in Messenger. It's like the whole flow of something, right? And if you don't, if that takes a lot of steps, like at a really deep level to like build out a significant funnel is a lot of steps, and that takes a lot of time. And so I would get somebody to understand funnels, because also that person can become, as they grow, they could end up becoming your number two. Because if you have a really good understanding holistically of funnels, then you can understand how to build the business, because you can see like, oh, well, this is broken. We should probably put Messenger here because people aren't opening emails, or there's a problem here. We should probably lower the price. The conversion rate on the checkout's really showing XYZ, right? Let's drop it, or let's add more testimonials. Like, you know, there's something's going to break in a funnel more than something's going to break in ads, you know?
True.
Yeah. Now, what about like customer support? With customer support, do you have them? Would they build a funnel before they ever get moved into customer support?
Dude, for customer support, I use HireMyMom.com.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice. Got it. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
So they're not. Are they? So is that like a?
It's all U.S. based, right?
Is that kind of like an agency where you just pay?
They're Mormon moms in Utah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Perfect. Yeah.
Is that like an agency where you pay HireMyMom, or do you just hire somebody off?
You just pay HireMyMom.com, and you can just they basically say, hey, what do you need? Like you can get support person from there and kind of train her, and you know your questions, so you try to give them your database and stuff like that. So yeah, that's right. The easiest. And then we also we do outsource to another for our bigger stuff that we get a lot of tickets. We outsource to a support company.
Got it. That's what we should do with Homebrew Academy. Just hire my mom.
Seriously. Yeah. The three of us, you know, including Brad there, you know, we co-own a Homebrew website, and we're just, and this is like, this is the questions we hear all the time. You kind of get stumbled on like, how do I hire this specific person? For us, it's customer service in that business. But a lot of people just get hung up over, oh, I need this specific conversion rate optimization guy. You know, it's like, dude, just train them. Like this process you're explaining.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, you know, at the beginning, man, it, like I said, if you don't have the relationships, and I also, I mean, you might have to eat it a little. Like, it's, you know, I look at business as like, I'm here forever, man. Like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. So it doesn't matter necessarily if I make all the money all the time. You know what I mean? I'm down to invest in the business. And so if I didn't have the relationships I have, I would hire a consultant that sounds really, really good. And I would also hire an employee at a smaller rate, and be honest with them, be like, hey man, as I'm growing, like I'm going to pay you more money, but right now this is what I can pay it, but I'm going to pay you to get trained. And this is, you know, XYZ person, and they're the best at conversion rate. So we're going to jump on together. We're both going to learn, you know, that way they also see like this dude's working. Cause you know, I have a lot of people here. And I've seen this like just from other jobs that they've had and stuff like that. They don't respect when you're not in it every day, like you're not really building a good culture. You're just building a job.
100%. And I think that's why people love you and don't want to leave your businesses. I mean, you're literally guiding them, you're mentoring them, you're probably coaching them when shit gets real, like you said, mindset.
100%.
That makes sense why these people don't want to leave, and they'll work, you know, 90 hours or so, or work for free.
Yeah.
That's powerful, man, because I could see that. Yeah, a lot of business owners will check out, feel like it's lifestyle. These people under me can work it. You know, that's not my job anymore. I could just dick around in my, yeah, but it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't believe in lifestyle business in the sense that lead the 4-hour work week kind of like go relax thing. I believe you can have something that pays you for building, for you having to build it out and like is operationally sound. But that's not really a lifestyle business. You should always be checking the lifeblood of it and like being involved in it and stuff like that. Like too many people online try to preach like, I'm not even doing anything. Look at how much money I have. Mm-hmm. And we all know those people. They go to conferences and they had a good February, but they had a terrible March. Right. They didn't do anything because there's no consistency inside of that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I want to, unless you had anything else, Joe, I kind of want to shift topics into the influencer topic, because we're super fascinated by that. I know I follow you on Instagram, and I notice you're you're pretty active on Instagram. That's one area that it's kind of been a black hole for us. We've never really put a lot of focus on it. We've just kind of recently started focusing on it. But with your accelerator program, what kind of things are you doing to help people kind of reach that influencer status?
So we start with Instagram. Actually, we have an Instagram process. We have a bunch of pages, and like we've spent a lot of time learning Instagram. It all kind of stemmed from working with influencers. A lot of times, you know, when an influencer, you know, they're really good at making content, but that can burn them out, and so they can go through phases. And I wasn't getting what I needed from one of the influencers, and I was like, you know what, man, I'll just be the influencer in this brand. I'll just make the content, and I started doing it. And I blew up. I didn't blow up, like I'm not famous or anything, but like I was able to make my Instagram pretty big. Our YouTube is getting a lot of growth. And I was like, oh, this is what you need to do, right? And so we built out a process for it. And then I was like, I wonder if I can do it for friends. And I did it for my buddy, David Schloss, and blew up his Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then I did it for a few other people and blew up their Instagram. And I was like, all right. And then, so we built that out as a process. Cause right now we're in a place where you can, you know, Instagram is the old school Facebook fan page. Mm-hmm. And that's how you have to treat it. That's how I look at it. Like you create a lot of content, you get stuff in there, you try to grow your account, but then you maximize stories. If you can spend a lot of time in stories, no one actually scrolls too much through the feed. So you need to focus on getting people in as a follower, but then like maximizing your stories and creating engagement. And Instagram gives you a lot of, you can pull them, you can ask them questions, you can give them questions to ask you. Like you can have a lot of conversations. You can even set up a countdown timer if you make a sale. And so you have to look at it now as like, all right, how much am I talking to these people? And then at the same time, how can I start to use this as an email sequence, right? Like if you have an offer, you can basically set it up as like, hey, part one, part two, part three of your videos, they're more likely to see it on Instagram than they are your email now, because of how connected they are to their phone, specifically on Insta, and not their email, right? They're getting so much spam nowadays on promotions and update tabs and all that kind of stuff. And so we work on Instagram on building a really congruent brand, figuring out their message, getting them followers, and then working with them on the story side and what they're going to sell, how they're going to bring people into either applications, or if they're doing e-commerce, what's the best way to get more people so they can swipe up. And we've had a lot of success. So we start with Instagram, and then I go into the rest of the platforms, because I'm a big believer that you do have to have it all. I know that a lot of people are like, stay focused on it, but I mean, you see the biggest people and they're not focused on one. Mm-hmm. They're doing everything because everything can run out. I mean, like I said, I run a ton of ads, and sometimes there's problems with the algorithms or updates, and you can see some pain. But if you I have this process of basically, I go, content, what kind of content are you going to put in the platform? And then conversation, how are you talking to people? Like, what are the modalities? Are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? Are you on YouTube? And then community, are you building out a community, a group, and stuff like that? If you have those three things, you have conversions, and you have conversions all over the place. Like, you can get all three of them all the time because they're seeing your face. They're you have this omnipresence thing, and people are seeing you everywhere, and it's always goodwill and it's always good content. And sure, you're making sales, but they're super chill. Like, you're not going out and like, buy my stuff. Like, you're just like, hey guys, and if you want help with this, swipe up. Or hey guys, if you want to try the new flavor of this thing, I just tried it, I made a video, you know, here's the ingredients, here's why it's good, here's this, swipe up, check it out, or check it out on my YouTube, and you're going to get sales from everywhere else. I think it's all like, social has almost gone back. It takes time, but everything takes time, but it's almost gone back to like where it was before, where like you could make content and like people are going to go find it because these algorithms are trying to get more people to see new things and keep you on the platform. Mm-hmm. So, and if you can amplify that with ads, then you're golden. And then you can build out some, you know, some sick processes and retargeting and doing the whole thing. But if you really focus on the core, even if you didn't have that, you have everything you need to at least build a six-figure business.
Yeah. Now with Instagram, do you have any worry about, you mentioned it's kind of like the old fan pages. Well, the way the old fan pages kind of turned out now is they don't give you any engagement unless you sort of pay for that engagement for the most part. Do you have any worry that Instagram's just going to go that same route once enough people kind of convert over to business accounts?
I think it'll happen this year. Yeah. But you know, even with that, right, like you're still like, we have a lot of data that shows that, you know, pages that have really, really good amount of followers get better CPMs. And if you get better CPMs, you're probably getting better CPAs. And so you're able to get more affordable ads. And, you know, even at the beginning, if you have, you know, 500,000 people or 300,000 and I do a boost, it's going to do better than if I just had 30,000 people and I did a boost. You know what I mean? So it's still important to do that. Like, even to this day, Facebook fan pages, like I said, for CPMs and CPAs work. Like, you want to have a better page than, and it's also social proof. If I see your page and you have 30,000 followers and I see John's and he's got 300, I kind of trust him a little bit more. He just seems like he's got more going on. And we live in a world where, like, you want to see stuff, you know?
Yeah. So how would you, so I know you have your whole process and I'm sure it's pretty damn detailed, as much as I would want to go through it right now. What are some, like, pretty good growth hacks for Instagram if you're at a place where you can't do the swipe up? Because I know that's like the holy grail from what it sounds like here. Like, what are some of your best growth tactics for an account?
So you have to have a really good profile so you can get people that are the people that you want to get to actually follow you. The follow on follow stuff is pretty much dead. The engagement group stuff doesn't really work. Honestly, the easiest growth hack that I could say is I would go do drops with different people. Basically, you can go to different pages and say, hey, how much for a shout out, you know? And some people will say, depending on the influencer or whatever, some people will say $500, some people say 50, right? And if you can do that enough and start measuring, all right, I gave this guy $50, I can get 1,000 followers, or I gave this one $75 and he gave me 1,000. Sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it works. And they're shouting you out from their page, so they're real people, they're following you over there, they're messaging you and stuff like that. And then you keep the stories going high, you're able to get more people, and then creating different giveaways and stuff like that, or working with other pages to do giveaways, that's going to get you a lot of people. You have to kind of cross promote with other pages. Like I said, we have a huge network of pages. And so one of the other things is there's this thing called power likes that basically spike you. So all pages aren't really created equal. So if you have 100 followers, but I have 1,000 followers and I like your page, Instagram says, oh, this pretty serious page liked his page. Let's give them like a better ranking for that. And if you can get enough of those pages to like your stuff, you can show up in the explore page. And if you show up in the explore, more people come and like you and you grow your account.
Got it. So you're leveraging, yeah, you partner with influencers or folks you can get shout outs from, yeah, get that engagement, get them to actually like your stuff. And then Instagram's going to basically reward you and give you more exposure.
So are you essentially going to, you're finding other accounts that are very similar as far as niche and who their followers are, and you're just DMing them straight on Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah. Rad. That's what you would do.
Is there any sort of rule of thumb of like what to expect as far as cost? Like, since this account has 300,000 subscribers, it's X per 1,000 or whatever. Is there any sort of like benchmark number, or is everybody just kind of different?
Everyone's kind of different. If they always go out and measure their engagement, if someone has 100,000 followers and like 300 likes, they're all bots. You don't want to do that. If someone has 100,000 followers and they have like 1 or 2 or 3% engagement, then you're like, all right, cool. Like, this person has probably got real people, because you're probably going to get 1, 2 to 5. Like, I think my Instagram page has like 4 or 5% engagement. I have friends that have 20. I don't even know how they've done that. But normally it's like 1 or 2. So if you can go to that and measure and people have something like that, then that's a good person to go do a test with. As far as pricing, it's just going to vary on like deal making, bro, because they don't have, no one has a real rate sheet. I mean, you're saying like, hey, give me a shout out. Like, they can do it for free or they can do it for $1,000. It depends on like what you're willing to do. I always go for the long haul, and I go, hey, if I can get a small test, I promise you I'll do this for like the next 2 months. And then I do it, right? And if it works, and if it doesn't work, I mean, hey man, you don't have the data to support that what you said was real. I didn't get anybody.
Yeah, it's a little test. And that's a shout out. Is it mainly in stories?
You can get them in stories. You can also basically, you can also have people tag you. There's also a lot of people that sometimes do giveaways. Like, if you have a health and fitness or really some sort of a physical product good, you can get influencers and pay them to shout out the product, and that'll grow your account. You can also get them to swipe up, and you can leverage their swipe up instead of yours. Influencers still don't really know how to charge. And there's websites like cameo.com where you can go and you can pay an influencer. I think I can get like, God, who was it? like, I don't know, you can get anybody on that thing from like Trey Kennedy to freaking like UFC fighters for like 50 to 100 to 300 bucks. Jeez. And if they like what they're, if they're like, all right, this seems cool, they'll do a shout out. Right. And sometimes then you can negotiate rates like outside of that and have a different relationship with them. And a lot of times, if you're doing physical products, you can even talk to them about being an ambassador.
Sure. I mean, I could see even if you have a digital product or some kind of training, you know, and you hook up some influencer in the business space or whatever space. Boom, shout out.
Yeah. The other thing you can do, I'm starting to test this out, is so people, you know, building a business, building courses, all these things is hard, whether you're doing e-com or whatever, like you got to have a lot of moving places. If you already have it moving, you can go to influencers and say, hey, I will give you 25% affiliate percentage, but I'm going to run off your page. And I'm going to give you, I'm going to run all the ads and I'll spend all my money. Or you could, you know, find another way to do something like for a digital course. Hey, if you put this on your swipe ups, you get 100% of it because it's a digital course, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. And they're making money, but you're getting the client and you're getting the customer. So it's all about like, how do I want to acquire customers now? Like the way I look at it is like, you know, I made a commitment to myself last year because I was going through a lot of like traffic issues with all these platforms. Even though we were spending a ton, we're getting no love overall, right? And I was like, man, I need to just master traffic as a whole, like organic traffic, SEO, YouTube, like everything. And I realized that traffic comes from nowadays, it comes from conversations and it comes from people. And like, if you can start leveraging that, like you have the holy grail.
Yeah. Now, do you ever do any sort of advertising to grow your Instagram? I know you can't do like a like campaign, but
it's never worked for me.
Yeah, I haven't heard it work for anybody. I was just curious if somebody's cracked that code.
No, I've never done it. I mean, I have done it, but I've never done it at success.
Yeah, no, we tested some of that, just running some ads instead of Facebook to try to get Instagram followers, and it's never really panned out for us either. Why do you think that the follow for a follow thing doesn't work anymore? Because I mean, the logic still seems sound, right? Like if I follow somebody and they follow me back, I now have more followers that should increase my engagement. Why wouldn't that work anymore?
I mean, it works, but again, like I just think at scale, and like I can't even with bots and stuff, if you're using bots, there's a chance you could get in trouble. And so, you know, at scale, like getting tens of thousands of people is going to be tough. Like it's going to take you a long time. You could probably get to 25,000 people like that in maybe a year, but I want to try to grow to hundreds of thousands of people as fast as possible.
Yeah. You get the scale. I mean, with influencers, you could scale fucking fast. I mean, that's the whole point of
the other thing we do. That. You can go buy a page, you know, there's pages for sale and there's people that are doing nothing with pages that have 75,000 followers, 150,000. And, they don't know how to monetize it. And it's kind of just like, it was a little hustle that they're just like, I don't know what I'm doing with this. You come in and be like, hey dude, let me buy this and let me rebrand it. The engagement's there. And even if a lot of those people leave, you might be getting the right ones. Or you could buy pages that are specific to your niche, right? Like we own a few pages in the health and wellness space.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Now, is there some way that you find those, or is it just kind of, you just kind of stumble across them every once in a while?
I'll have to get back to you guys with this, so you can put it if you have show notes. Mm-hmm. There is a website where you can buy them.
Oh, cool. Rad. All right. Yeah, we'll follow up with you. Right on. I don't know where else to go with that one. Because there's a lot of, I know Instagram, it's something that we've just kind of failed at, but it's because we haven't really dedicated the time to it. And I know it's a lot of moving parts there.
Well, our attempts at Instagram have always been using sort of follow automated following tools that follow people that use hashtags or follow people that we want their audience, and it's just never really worked out. You know, we put, I don't know, I think our Instagram has like 2,000 followers, but we've never put a lot of focus in it, and it's not that engaged from all the people that we brought in using that process. So I'm sure we have a lot of bots that follow us or something like that.
I guarantee
but,
it.
It's just it's something that we're really interested in diving into. So once you have a good following on Instagram, is pretty much the swipe up concept the main way you get people to take actions from Instagram?
100%. Also, you can, if you're doing higher ticket stuff, or really it depends, whatever, depending on what your goal is, like you can make people DM you. Mm-hmm. You're probably more likely to get a ton of DMs than you are to get heavy swipe ups, right? Because then your swipe ups is like basically your click through rate. Like how many people are swiping up is like in an email, how many people would click through. And that's not going to go as many people as like see your offer on email, which would be see your video, right? Mm-hmm. But if you can get people to DM you, it feels more personable. And so if you're selling higher ticket stuff, you can always have a conversation, lead with some sort of a questionnaire. And by questionnaire, I just mean like poll. You can set up a poll on Insta, mm-hmm. and then you can ask questions and then teach something on what you kind of like preemptively knew you were going to ask. And then say, hey, listen, if you guys want to get a little bit more information about this, I'm hosting a workshop or I'm doing a webinar or I have an event coming up. It's not for a lot of people. So if you really want to get it, just DM me and I'll talk to you guys about it. And it's super chill and people DM you all the time, yeah, because you're not pushy selling. And like, you know, it also creates this like, man, how many people are DMing this guy? I got to DM him real quick. Yeah. And then you can start conversations and, you know, a lot can happen from there.
I love that. Mm. And you can actually put links in DMs too, right?
Yeah. You can put full on everything.
Dude, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Because obviously, yeah, you have that one link in the bio and everybody's like, click the bio link. It's like, yeah, just DM.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I would say too is like a lot of people put these link trees, mm-hmm. in their bio. If you have something to sell, just put your one thing, because now you're opening an opportunity for too many clicks to go everywhere. And then you're not going to be able to measure like what clicks going where, because you can't attribute that on that with Insta.
Yeah, we actually used Linktree ourselves for our own links,
but makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
you said.
Well, because with our Instagram, we post a lot like, hey, there's a new podcast episode live, link in the bio, and then, you know, we're linking to various episodes. We mention our YouTube account every once in a while, so we mention resources. But so how does that work if you say like link in the bio, like in one of your posts on Instagram, but then that link is constantly changing? It's just, you know,
your offer's changing, just change the link. Also, what you guys can do is if you have a really good guest or something like that, or you just have a really good episode, you can go to different pages. And a lot of times, man, it doesn't even matter like if it's super, super niche specific, because, you know, I mean, sometimes I've grown accounts using other people's meme pages, because you know what everyone follows? Freaking meme pages, mm-hmm. dude. and it's what you want, right? And so if someone hits you with like, oh, and check out this awesome, normally it would go like, cool picture of you, hey, follow this dude for success and mindset and business entrepreneurship stuff, and then like another picture, and if you want to listen to their latest podcast, swipe up. Now you basically are just paying for someone to send you swipe ups, but then you can actually have them send a screenshot of their analytics on insights and see like how many this worked, how many people clicked, and how many people went to the podcast. And if that works, you can start doing that more and you can just start driving clicks to other things.
That's ninja.
I love it.
I love that.
We'll be swiping that. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Love it, man. Anything on Instagram before we kind of close that chapter right now?
I think, I think that's the basis of it. And, you know, like I said, if you guys can start to network with other people. It's easy to connect with people on Instagram, man. Like I've made like really high, I guess net worth, but like just high level individual friendships from like, oh, hey, what's up, dude? I like your stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. I didn't know you followed me. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then you just start talking and then all of a sudden you're doing stuff or you're working together or you get to be on that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I dig it.
So I have one actually last question about Instagram that I just want to get your thoughts on. Now, what do you think about like a personal page versus a brand page? Because, you know, I have, you know, the Matt Wolf Instagram, which I post mostly just like personal pictures with family and stuff. And Joe has his page. And then we also have our Evergreen Profits one, which is where that's our main brand, where we post stuff about Hustle and Flowchart and the products we're releasing and memes and things like that. Do you think it's important to have like all of those, or should we be kind of focused on our personal accounts, or does it really matter?
So if you want to, I would focus on my personal account because I can make money from it, right? Like I can make money faster than a logo, mm-hmm. and people are going to see me a ton of times. What you also could do is have the other podcast, or I'm sorry, the other page, but also do a ton of stories from the page, because the odds are your meme page or your brand page, which you can treat like a meme page essentially, mm-hmm. is going to grow faster. But if you're the face of that, then the connection is with you. It doesn't matter about the page, right? So a lot of times, we, like I said, we own a few pages that are fitness based, and they're called like Gym Warriors and stuff like that. but I'm the face of it. And then I talk to people in the space and give value. And so they know me from the pages. So you can kind of use it. I would do all three, but I would be the face of all of them. And if you want to focus on one, I would probably honestly focus on my personal one, just because at the end of the day, you're always you, right?
Yeah. And how much do you post, like, let's just say for your personal page, for example, how much do you post like personal insights into your own life, like what you're up to versus, you know, business meme type stuff?
My personal page doesn't post business meme type stuff anymore. Okay. I used to. And I found that, like, honestly, like I try to, like for me, for what I do, I try to attract, like, you know, I'm getting people to give me like half their business or like give me, you know, $20,000 a month for something. And so like meme pages kind of made me feel like, whatever. I don't trust that dude. It's a meme dude, you know? Yeah. And so I switched it to be a little bit more like my personal, my personality and stuff. I still, sometimes I take douchey pictures with my car. But it's just because like people, they literally statistically get the best clicks. I don't like doing it. My team here makes me do it.
Hey, but that's
so douchey.
It's okay to be douchey with a Tesla though, man. It's cool. I got one of those too. So
Joe hasn't been taking douchey photos with his Tesla though.
I haven't. No.
You have to.
You need to start.
I know. Maybe that's why we haven't grown.
Douchey car pictures are the worst, but they work.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, but I always put my own insights and I always talk about things that I'm about, right? So, hey, so this happened in business, or like if this is happening with your team, I actually talk a lot about like just entrepreneurship and team building and culture and stuff like that, because it's stuff I'm like really passionate about, and which kind of has a personal development twist to it, and that gets a lot more results oftentimes than, you know, just like office memes or different things like that. Yeah. And I want people to kind of think of me more as a thought leader, less like just like a meme guy, you know.
I love it.
But
man,
with the other pages, we definitely do that, leverage it, and then I just jump on. So we just built one of the cool things that we're doing too is like we just built out like a essentially like a business page for us. But what I'm doing is like I'm having everyone in the office do daily training, so everyone here gets to create content and give value and stuff like that. So I want people to kind of almost get to know the entire team and stuff like that. So. Yeah, man. If you're for the home brewing stuff, I think you guys could also work with other people and pay them. Yo, tell people you're going live on our page, and here's X amount of money, like $100, $500, whatever, depending, right, on the person, and just do a takeover. It also brings more people into you, and those people are highly engaged. That's probably the best way to get engaged people. If not, do the other way. Like I said, like work with other pages and stuff like that.
I love it. Man, this has probably been one of my favorite discussions we've had on the podcast in a long time. Just like so much insights and value dropped. I'm loving this.
Thanks, man. I'm glad.
But we do have to wrap up, unfortunately. But
already over an hour, but it's all good.
If you're up to it, I could see a round two in the future at some point.
Dude, I'm super down. Always down. Good. Yeah, excited.
Maybe we'll drag a Costanzo on here too. It'd just be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's too many ideas. I
don't know. So we have a couple.
They can wrap hustle and flow charts.
That's right.
We have a couple wrap up questions that we ask everybody. The first one being, do you have any books that you find yourself recommending often or referring back to yourself often?
Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek is my favorite book. Mm-hmm. Multipliers, which is another team building culture kind of book, and then Outwitting the Devil is my favorite book of all time.
Oh, sweet. Those are all three books I've never read, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last one is Scaling Up by Bern Harnisch.
Oh, I have that one. Haven't read it yet, though.
You just bought it, so.
We both did. Literally got it about a week ago, so.
Rad.
It's a little dense, but it's good.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's definitely. Where should folks go check you out? I know you're doing a ton, man.
So the easiest place for the accelerator stuff is, it's actually
theinfluenceengine.com. TheInfluenceEngine.com. And you have a podcast too, right?
Yep. The podcast is just called Los Hustle Live.
Hustle Live. And if somebody wanted to go follow your Instagram account,
Los Hustle.
Los Hustle. Bam. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll link all that stuff up in the show notes. And awesome. I think we kind of covered everything. So thanks so much for hanging out and spending this much time with us.
Awesome, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man. Anytime. See you later.
See ya.
All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook, and go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you learned there. The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.